Let's welcome him in. You can find him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting. You can read him at Optimum Scouting and Sporting News. It is Eric Galco. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Eric.
Absolutely, guys. What's going on, guys?
Well, we just got a chance to talk to Utah's old left tackle, Garrett Bowles. I'm sure you've seen enough of him on film by now, but he told us he might run a 4.7 or a 4.8 40 at the combine. If he runs a 4.8, I mean, he didn't seem like he was bragging. I mean, if he can run 4.8, how high could Garrett Bowles be drafted?
Yeah, so I'll be honest. When I first started watching Utah, I was a big fan of Garrett Bowles early on. I watched the game against UCLA. To be honest, watching their defensive end, for his evaluation, talking to a scout, and I said, who is this left tackle? It is Garrett Bowles. How high is this guy going to go? I felt at that point, aside from kind of the age aspect, which we'll kind of get into later, where he could go in the draft, but I said, this guy's a top 10 talent as an offensive tackle. And granted, other stuff's going to maybe push him down the board a little bit, but he's a special, special player. If he can run a 4.7, I think his best comparison in terms of kind of his upside, kind of coming a bit out of nowhere this year as a first-year starter, and also the age aspect. Runs a lot of Kyle Long at Oregon, who was a one-year player, an older guy out of college, ended up going top 20, and even that was too low. So I think if he can run the 4.7, 4.8 and show he's a top-end athlete, I think the top 20 pick is almost a lock for him.
How is Garrett Bowles' age, though, going to be viewed by NFL teams? He's 24 right now.
Yeah, so the real reason is that offensive linemen, offensive tackles especially, start to kind of hit their peak and fall down a little bit at the age of about 29, 30. So that's putting Garrett Bowles, after his rookie contract, assuming he's a first-round pick, to about age 30. That's where teams kind of get concerned, because if he's playing well and they want to re-sign him after that year before his contract's up, he's going to be a 29-year-old guy, expected at least to kind of be beyond his peak, and that's kind of a wasted first-round pick for some teams. And teams obviously picking the top 20 picks, they're in need of help. They're a non-playoff team. They need guys moving forward to help them out a lot. If they don't feel Bowles can be that second contract pillar of their offense, that's a concern. That being said, we've seen how Kyle Long has worked out for the Bears. He's been a leader for that team. He's been an impact player since his rookie year. I think teams will see that, realize that, you know, the window in the NFL is always closing. You have 4 or 5 years at most. If you want to turn your team from a fringe playoff team to a team with a franchise left tackle, I think Bowles is going to fill that role.
Eric, how does the tackle class look this year, and how many teams do you think in that top 15, top 20 could use a tackle this season?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of teams always looking for offensive tackles. And in general, offensive tackles are about 10 in the top 3 rounds every year. This year, it's going to be a struggle to find 10 guys that kind of fit that top 3 round grade. So I think first off, he's got that working for him. Teams know that it's going to be a bit difficult to find an offensive tackle to be a guy who can play in the first 3 rounds. So I think the fact that the third round depth is not going to be there, he can help him as a first round pick. But that being said, there's a lot of teams atop the draft. What most teams usually do is, they'll look at their board. If they don't like the guy who's the best fellow player on their board for their need, they always look O-line and D-line. This year's D-line class is very strong, but O-line, and especially off of the tackle, is not. That's going to help them a lot. I think, you know, the Jaguars, that kind of piqued my interest, because I'm not sure he's going to be the fourth overall pick in terms of his age, other stuff going on, but that's kind of where the needed off of the tackle maybe starts. And a lot of teams from 4 to 15, 16, the Indianapolis Colts at 14 especially, are going to be looking for offensive linemen.
I'm not sure if Marcus Williams is going to have an electric 40 time coming out of Utah, but he's such an instinctual safety. He's a big hitter. What's the ceiling for Marcus Williams if he does run well? How high could he be drafted?
Yeah, usually in that late first, early second round is where teams covet defensive backs, especially safeties who can kind of play a certain role. And being a free safety is a guy, you know, a lot of safeties in this draft class, Jabril Peppers, Jamal Adams of LSU, the two biggest names, a strong safety. Not a lot of guys I think could be true rangy safeties who can play that free safety role. I think he's going to be firmly in that top 50 discussion, assuming he's going to test well and test apart. It's a very strong safety class, but not as much at free safety. And you have Malik Hooker at Ohio State, the top free safety. I think he wants to do a bit of both. You're playing a couple roles that can kind of ask that cover two dynamic, or teams that play that hybrid free and strong safety. That's all going for him to be probably a top 50 pick in the draft, assuming he tests well and assuming he can make the most of his opportunity in a strong safety class.
Eric Galco's our guest, 1320 KFan. Good running backs in our state right now. Joe Williams at Utah, Jamal Williams at BYU. But, you know, running back seems like it's certainly making a comeback when it comes to getting drafted in the first round. Do you project both of these guys as getting drafted, or either of these guys getting drafted in the top 7 rounds, obviously?
Who was that again?
Jamal Williams at BYU and Joe Williams at the University of Utah.
Yeah, Jamal Williams, I think for sure, is going to be in that mix of even a second-round pick. And he's so talented. I think if he's going to a bigger school, an SEC school or a Pac-12 school, I think he's looked at as maybe a late first-round option. He's so talented. He's versatile, can catch the ball in the backfield. He's physical. But it's that explosiveness after first contact and at the second level that has teams so intrigued for a guy who's a bigger, bulkier running back. So his ability to kind of explode at the second level, as well as his size and build to finish, had a couple huge runs this year after first contact that teams really got excited about. I think he's going to be in that second, third-round area where everyone knows Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette and Deonta Foreman, Christian McCaffrey. But I think in terms of looking for a spot in the second, third round for a team that needs a franchise running back, he could be that guy. Like you said, it's back in vogue to find a good running back to be the staple of your offense. As for Joe Williams, I was talking to a scout yesterday just about him, and he brought up Joe Williams as saying, why can't this guy be the star of the Shrine Game? Why can't this guy be a feature running back? You know, the whole not playing football early in the season is definitely an issue for teams, but if that's not an issue, he was productive, he was explosive, he was consistent as a reliable running back. He's going to play all three downs. I think for sure, even in a deeper running back class with a lot of the juniors declaring, I think he's going to be in the mix of the top five rounds.
Does a guy like Isaac Asiata have the ability, let's say he performs well at the Senior Bowl, he pass blocks well there, he shows good athleticism, could he be drafted, or is he a guy looking at a free agent deal regardless?
Yeah, we mentioned earlier the offensive line class is fairly weak, and a lot of teams I spoke with talking about the offensive tackles in particular, but I guess all offensive linemen, it's going to be a lot of teams finding guys they like and guys they trust. And this year, more than most years, because it's so weak, it's going to be a lot of reliant on the offensive line coaches in the NFL. So with a lot of these offensive linemen, it's going to be crucial for them to not only perform at the Senior Bowl, but I think more so in drills at the NFL Combine and also in their individual workouts at their pro days, because this is going to be an offensive line class where O-line coaches are determining who they're taking. Not a lot of offensive linemen are going to have top three-round grades. It's going to come down to who do these teams trust on their offensive line and rely on their coaches. Offensive line coaches, maybe outside of quarterback coaches, have the most sway in the draft when it comes to drafting players, aside from what the board says. And I think when it comes to third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, O-line coaches make a big deal. So I think to watch out for Asiata, the Senior Bowl will play a role. I think more importantly, it'll be the combine that plays a huge role, especially in offensive tackles and interior offensive linemen who want to get a chance to be drafted in the first five or six rounds.
Eric, I know we're still, 4 months away from the actual draft. Do you have an idea of what the Browns are thinking they're going to want to do? Do they want to trade for a guy in Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they want to take another quarterback with the top overall pick?
Yeah, so the Browns are, and I think speak to most people who have connections in the league, the Browns are a bit hit or miss because the front office is still a bit different from the coaching staff and the old school scouting staff. But I've been told the Browns are intrigued by Jimmy Garoppolo. They feel that Jimmy Garoppolo is very similar to Andy Dalton in a lot of ways, maybe a better version of him that Hugh Jackson led to a great season in Cincinnati. That's intriguing. But I think wisely so, and maybe we're in the minority on this, but the Cleveland Browns front office, Sashi Brown, the more analytics-focused kind of final say director there, he feels that you can find quarterbacks later in the draft, and he appreciates the fact that not reaching for a quarterback and not setting your franchise back with a quarterback is very important. And we look at the St. Louis Rams just did, Los Angeles Rams, excuse me, with Jared Goff, and now they lost their head coach, their GM's probably on the hot seat. They have a first-round pick this year, and they're banking their whole franchise on Jared Goff. And while the Browns want to do that with their first overall pick, taking a quarterback like Mitch Trubisky, let's say, from North Carolina, if he fails, that whole regime and coaching staff might be fired. Whereas if you're in the third or fourth round, maybe you find Russell Wilson or Nick Foles for a year or Kirk Cousins. There's a lot more upside in getting a cheaper contract, short-term fix, and a replaceable guy doesn't work out in the third or fourth round in the first round. So all I've been told is Myles Garrett is likely the pick. I think they want to go for the third or fourth round quarterback, but certainly Jimmy Garoppolo has piqued their interest.
You can find him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting. Read him at Optimum Scouting and Sporting News. Eric Galco, great stuff, Eric. Thanks for your
time. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys.